All right. Hello. Thank you for tuning in to Jackman Radio again. I'm your host, Eric Jackman, joined by my twin brother, Mike. And we are super excited today. A returning guest. It's been a few years since she's been on the show, but we're really happy to have her back with us. And that is former Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be back. Good to see you guys here in New Hampshire again.
Absolutely. Welcome back to New Hampshire.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice. It's a little rainy. I don't know. You guys didn't arrange the whole sun thing for me, but
we didn't modify
I'll
the
have
weather.
To come back. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't work on that
I'm
one.
I'm going to call Marjorie Taylor Greene about that.
Or Bill Gates.
Yeah. She can modify it for us. So it's a lot has happened since the presidential
it
campaign.
It feels like a long time ago, doesn't
it?
When
it does.
We
first met. Yeah. That was so 2019, we did the whole year here in New Hampshire.
I guess it's been about 5 years.
Yeah. We're in 24 now doing the math.
Yeah.
And, a lot has happened, and you made huge waves, and I believe it was October of 2022, saying goodbye to the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things we're going to talk about today is your book, For Love of Country, Say Goodbye to the Democrat Party.
Leave the Democrat Party behind.
Leave the Democrat Party behind, which is what Tulsi did in a big way. So tell me a little bit about that, and what was really like the big turning point where you're like, I'm done with this party, I'm out of here, I'm going independent.
Well, you know, I have always been an independent-minded person from the time when I joined the Democratic Party and ran for State House in Hawaii when I was 21, got elected and served there, served on the city council, and then served for 8 years in Congress, served as vice chair of the Democratic National Committee for several years, as you said, ran for president on the Democratic ticket. Throughout this period of time, the Democrat Party has changed radically.
Yeah.
It has gone so far, and I know you guys are big fans of JFK. We had many conversations about JFK, but you go back to what the party was and what drew me to the Democrat Party back in the day, where I didn't have any familial loyalties or any external pressures of like, you have to join this party or that party. And you look at the party as it exists today, and it's heartbreaking. Really, when you look at the legacy of President JFK, you look at the legacy of Martin Luther King, you look at the legacy of so many people who came before us that really did stand for the people, that really did stand for freedom and civil rights and civil liberties, people who believed in an open tent, big Democrat party where different ideas and discussion and debate was welcomed and celebrated, to the party that exists today, where by and large, it is controlled by this elitist cabal of woke warmongers. And no dissent is allowed. No real debate occurs on the most important issues of our time, both here at home and overseas. And anyone who dares to step out of line, even put a little toe out of line, is immediately excoriated, attacked, smeared, attempts to cancel and censor.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I can't tell you there was a single event that caused me to leave the Democratic Party, but for so long, as a member of Congress, as a vice chair of the DNC, as a candidate running for president, I talked about trying to and made attempts to try to bring the party back to its historical foundation of being a party of the people. And it just got to a point where I felt that my ability to impact that change as a Democrat from within the party, it just wasn't going to work. It wasn't welcome by those in charge. And I am very clear in my book and also in how I talk about these things, just like it's wrong for us to cast any individual as part of a group and cast that judgment on them. So no, not all Democrats reflect the thinking and the mindset of the Democrat elite in Washington. I would say probably many or most Democrats in the country are common sense minded Americans who are frustrated with the radical agenda and ideology that the Democrat elite in Washington are pushing. And I'd say the same for Republicans. All Republicans don't believe and walk in lockstep on the same thing. And I think it's actually an attribute of today's Republican Party, where we're seeing a lot more of that open debate, and that it gets a little messy, which is fine.
It's fun.
But there's There's more Republicans who are standing up against the military-industrial complex That's today than there are Democrats in Washington.
See, I kind of came up very similar the same way. JFK I looked up to. I consider myself a Democrat in high school till I was about 18, 19 after the Kerry election. And I was like, well, he's not even – what's the real difference? There's not really much of a difference. And I became an independent then. So welcome to the sphere of being an independent. It's kind of interesting, huh?
It is, but you know, it's also that you and I are not alone. There are more Americans in this country.
Right?
It is. And I wish that more of our leaders in Washington and both parties recognize that and recognized the logical conclusion of that is, hey, we want our representatives and our government to act in the best interest of our people versus the best interest of a political party or a special interest.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the only games in town that are anti-war in Congress, you got to go to Thomas Massey. You got to look at Gates sometimes. Rand Paul, of course, in the Senate is good. MTG sometimes is good on Russia. She says some good things in between some batshit things sometimes. No offense, MTG. I love you. You know, I love you. We had fun at the Capitol that time. It wasn't on January 6th. It was after that. But that's it. You're right. The Democratic Party, I'm racking my brain
now. It's cartoonish.
Sometimes Ro Khanna is good on some things. He says some things. He's teamed up with Matt Gaetz on stuff. But who do we have?
I've known Ro Khanna for years. And unfortunately, he's been quite terrible on other issues. One in particular that I'll point out that came up recently with relating to... the lawfare that's happening and how they're trying to, the Democratic leader trying to weaponize and politicize the DOJ and law enforcement to try to eliminate Donald Trump as President Biden's opponent.
Right.
And I read it a few times because I couldn't believe it when I saw it, but Ro Khanna put out a tweet essentially saying that the chairman of the Fed needs to immediately drop interest rates, otherwise he will likely be solely responsible for the reelection of Donald Trump.
That's crazy.
So on X, putting it out there, and this was, I think, late last year in 2023, in December or so, directly asking the chairman of the Fed to manipulate our interest rates so that Donald Trump doesn't win, to make Biden look good. It's become so brazen. And there's so many different examples like this that I think are important to point out because they're doing this and thinking they can get away with it because they have been, and they are. And that's why I'm dedicating all of my time this year between now and Election Day, really just traveling across the country, speaking the truth, telling people what's really going on. Because a lot of people don't have time to study things like you guys do.
Yeah, they're not freaks like us. But once they learn,
They become alarmed. And we need everyone to get out and vote.
Let the people decide.
That's all.
Not the courts.
That's
not, it. Not some
Let
bureaucratic...
the people decide. Exactly.
Definitely.
And make informed votes. Don't fall for the vote blue no matter who crap.
Yeah,
on either side of the aisle.
Both sides are
Don't
guilty
be blind
of that.
Followers.
Well,
yeah.
As
be informed.
Ventura says they're Coke and Pepsi Dulce.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then sometimes
I missed that one.
It's refreshing Dr. Pepper. They're
Democrats and Republicans. They're like gangs. And I beat them. And Tulsi's going to beat them as an independent. You heard it here first. On that subject, both parties seem to agree, and we talked about this last time, was the imprisonment of Julian Assange. Yeah. So our last podcast was like 5 years ago? Or
2019.
2020 feels like its own three-year block. So that was 5 years ago. But Assange essentially they want him to die in prison. And now they're talking about sending him back to the States to face... the district there in D.C., the courts, that's historically not been great on whistleblowers. What are your thoughts on that predicament right now? Do you think he should just be released outright, or where are you on that?
Yeah, I mean, I have been a strong advocate for his release and or his pardon, put in legislation to do that with, I believe it was Tom Massey or Justin Amash when I was in Congress. I think what's happening with Julian Assange is another example of... how our fundamental rights and freedoms are being eroded because of political interests. Because you go back and look at, the New York Times and other mainstream media outlets originally when this was happening, standing up for Julian Assange in the name of freedom of the press. that if they can do this to him, they could theoretically do it to any journalist who's releasing information that the government doesn't want the public to see. When did they change their tune? They changed their tune when Julian Assange released via WikiLeaks Hillary's emails. The politics of it. Yeah. They didn't want to be on the wrong side of the Clintons. So immediately they were no longer, you know, hey, stand up for freedom of the press. It was now Russia, 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 Julian Assange, lock him up, all this other stuff. And that's the problem here. And I've spent time with his brother, and he's talked to me about his attempts to try to get more members of Congress on board the side of freedom of the press. You can think whatever you want about Julian Assange, but if you proclaim to stand for freedom of speech and freedom of the press, you should be on the side of freeing Julian Assange. But it's the politics of the Democrat elite that are infecting most Democrats who otherwise would likely be allies. They're not willing to take the risk.
And Hillary,
they're not willing to take the political risk.
No, they don't have the courage. And even Hillary was saying, how do we assassinate this guy? There's even Hillary was saying that in a meeting.
Yeah, they were trying to think of ways. Well, when you say Democrat elite, and this has never been refuted. John Podesta is in those emails big time.
Yeah,
a lot of shady stuff, a lot of weird offbeat stuff. There's theories about it, but he's never they've never been able to. No one's been sued by him or anything. Mm. So when I think about Democrat and deep state and elite, the Podesta brothers are those guys come to mind. People of that ilk.
Yeah, big foreign lobbyists too. There are many. The Clintons. And they're not as you mentioned. I mean, yes, it's the Clintons, it's the Podestas, it's people in the propaganda media, it's people in the bureaucratic state. You know, it's people in big tech and social media. It's not. People have said, well, like, give me a list. Who are these people? It's like, well, gosh, there are a lot of them.
It's an octopus.
And they're very deeply entrenched, which just points, again, to the wholesale transformational change that we need to see across our federal government because the rot is deep. And we, the people, are the only ones who can fix it.
And in 2016, Tulsi, you were still in Congress. Did you feel just like... when Trump did win, did you feel Washington have a collective absolute freak out?
Yeah.
Like a just like holy shit moment.
Yes and no. I mean the freak out still exists.
Right.
This whole Trump derangement syndrome is real.
It's very real.
But the thing I was in Hawaii on election night in 2016 and I was surprised that Trump won mostly because I figured the Clinton machine is so powerful they would find a way. They would find a way, whatever it was, to come out on top. And so that was the reason I was surprised that Trump pulled this off, going against the Democrat machine, the Republican machine, the mainstream media machine.
He beat a Bush and a Clinton in the same election cycle.
It's true.
Which is unreal.
Yeah.
And one of the times I saw Trump, it was still, the primary was still going on, and I had him sign a copy of the Art of the Deal. You know, he said, who's this to? I said, to Eric, like your son spells it. And I said, hey, man, keep up the good work on the Bushes. You know, we got to defeat them. We don't want them anymore. And I said, then you can set your sights on Hillary. He's like, we are just getting started. Believe me, we are just getting started. So I got to remind people that. He took on two of the most entrenched, powerful, far-reaching legacy families in American political history.
True, and one.
And one.
And I think that was the thing that I expected to happen when I went back to Washington a few days after that election, was that I would go back to the House Democratic Caucus meeting under Nancy Pelosi's leadership. There would be such collective shock that Trump had somehow won that they would say, like, all right, we need to have some serious introspection and figure out what are we doing wrong?
Right.
How was this possible? But it didn't happen. It was an immediate blame game, finger pointing. It's somebody else's fault. It's someone else's problem. It was a kind of like, let's put the rose colored glasses on and pretend that somehow there was a victory for the Democrats that came out of this. But that was in 2016, in November of 2016. We are now approaching November of 2024. And still, the vast majority of the Democrat elite in Washington, in politics and the media, still can't figure out why President Trump has the support that he has, and that no matter what they're throwing at him, it continues to grow and build, which just is a reflection of how completely out of touch they are with the people. they're sitting around their little rooms themselves and being like, oh yeah, he's so bad in this and that. And can you believe this? And, you know, I think it was Robert De Niro was on Bill Maher recently talking about him.
Stick to acting, buddy.
Dictator, yeah. Like all of these things that they're saying.
Yeah, him and Jimmy Kimmel.
And as a result, was it Jimmy Kimmel? Yeah. As a result of that, though.
He was on that too. Oh, yeah. He was bitching on all the shows.
They continue as they did in 2016. They continue to see the American people as stupid.
Yeah.
And ignorant and unable to somehow make our own choices for ourselves, which all leads back to my point about, and I go into this in detail in the book, is about how our fundamental freedoms are being eroded and why. It's about power. When they are so afraid that we will make the quote unquote wrong choice in this election that they tell themselves they are pursuing a righteous cause to save us from making this wrong decision for ourselves because only they know what's best. That's how offensive their mentality is to the American people.
And they can't run on issues or what they've achieved because they couldn't get health care. They had Roe v. Wade overturned. I mean, they've supported the major wars, so they don't really have an argument there.
Well, and even you look at the top of mind issues for voters today. It's the border and it's the economy.
Your wallet, yeah. Groceries, gas, yeah, and the border.
They're missing it. And Biden, you know, poor Biden. Elderly abuse. I call it elderly abuse. Mike and I met him for the first time in 06.
Yeah.
He was sharp. He still had it.
Yeah.
He was still gangster Biden. He had it. He was in control.
He did a 3-hour speech in Keene. They had to tell him to like wrap it because he was talking talking so much.
Kissing all the old
now
ladies.
They can't get questions.
As per usual.
Yeah. Kissing all the old ladies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The babies.
Yeah. The babies. But people are thinking maybe something big happens at the convention or before that. They weasel in Newsom or they weasel in Gretchen Whitmer is a name I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. And they promise Kamala a Supreme Court seat to get her the hell out of the way. Because we know that she's losing sleep right now thinking about a possible Tulsi Gabbard rematch on the debate stage.
Tulsi's the last person that Kamala wants to see on that stage.
Yeah, the last.
But, you know, it's out there. That's out there, though, Tulsi. Yeah. That's been certainly been in the news lately. If asked to serve, you would be VP or maybe Secretary of State or Defense or National Security.
It's out there. I'll go to your point first about, because I think it's an important one about the Democratic Convention and what could happen there. Anything could happen. We remember back in 2016, the power of the superdelegates to overrule the voices of the people. Mm-hmm. That has only become stronger. So while anything could happen, I think that President Biden has made his decision. And unless he goes willingly, I think he will be the nominee. But I also think it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Because whether it's President Biden or Kamala Harris or Gavin Newsom or anyone, Gretchen Whitmer, what are we going to get? More of the same. The
same people.
And worse, because if they are allowed to stay in power, then they will run around the country saying, well, we have been given a mandate by the American people to continue to do exactly what we're doing and take what we've seen over the last 3.5 years, and we'll see it on steroids. And that is what I am most concerned about and why I'm sounding the alarm bells on, because it comes down to our foundational principles enshrined in the Constitution. That is what is under assault right now. And so to your point, if I were asked to serve in a way where I could actually help work to solve a lot of these problems and challenges we're facing both here at home and abroad, I would be honored and I would come in ready for the fight.
That'd be amazing. I'll be honest. I really think we need more of a coalition government if Trump gets back in there. Yeah. We need a voice like yours. I'd love to see Rand Paul in there in some capacity. If RFK Jr. doesn't do it, I'd love to see him as health czar or head of the CIA or something like that. So, you know, something.
Yeah. I think that would be the ultimate poetic justice if Trump wins. And it's like Mike said, a coalition, a Tulsi, Rand Paul, Trump, and Bobby Kennedy, either as attorney general, like his father was, or the EPA or DHS, which would be poetic justice. Any of those would be something that I think a lot of people would like. It would be a breath of fresh air, and it would be a very interesting mix of people, and I think people who have the country's interest at the forefront, not partisan loyalty and political fights.
There are good people. There are good people who I know and I'm friends with in Washington, but they may not have the backbone and the scars and the armor to go in and actually fight the tough fight. Not only it's not a like, okay, who's going to win on the debate stage? As we know, increasingly, the bureaucratic state, how powerful they are, how many weapons and tools they have at their disposal to try to destroy their political opponents across virtually every federal agency. And we know how much the swamp creatures will fight to protect themselves and what they view as their territory and their power. So, you know, I President Trump has talked a lot about what he has learned from 2016 and the kinds of people that surrounded him. And my hope is that, you know, the regardless of the names, there needs to be an A team of people who are seriously ready to go in and fight on behalf of the American people, which is what the Washington elite on both parties are so terrified of. But that's why it needs to happen.
Yeah, and that's why you should be in the mix, Tulsi, because you actually have that experience. All those committees you were on, I remember on Instagram you posted one night with appropriations for defense, you like had to go home and change and come back, and it just went on for like 18 hours.
Yeah.
That is the act. That's how the sausage gets made.
You have a good memory.
Like you said.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a steel trap.
You have a big brain.
But that's actually the mechanisms of government. And
yes.
Yeah, debates are great and flashy. Yes. And we can be on stage and we can do rallies. But the reality is it's you at a desk on a committee.
Yeah.
Doing the ins and outs of a budget of the Pentagon. I mean, you had a front row seat to all of that for 8 years, you know, and then you served in Iraq from what, 04 to 05. You did a year in Kuwait. Yeah. You're one of the rare people in Washington who has that resume at such a young age with pertinent experience. So,
well, it's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I really do love our country. And yes, we have flaws and imperfections. We have many things that need challenges that need to be addressed and problems that need to be solved. But I am deeply aware of the great sacrifices that have been made by those, my brothers and sisters in uniform, but also people here in this country who maybe never wore a uniform, but have fought their fight for freedom and for justice and for civil rights and civil liberties. We can best honor those who have come before us by taking this ownership and responsibility ourselves to fight for freedom now. It's that serious. What's at stake is that serious. And no one else is going to come do it for us. And so this is the imperative and the challenge that I'm delivering to people everywhere I go, is to go back and read the Declaration of Independence. Go back and read our founding documents. And be inspired and reminded by our founding fathers about how our government only exists with the consent of the governed. Mm-hmm. That when they say we the people, it is a call to action to every one of us, because those in charge right now are of, by, and for the rich and powerful. They're not of, by, and for the people. If we want to change that, and I think most people in this country do, we've got to make sure that we get out. Run for office if you want to run for office, support good candidates, and at a minimum, make sure that you get out and vote.
Yeah, and just be active or start a podcast or
there you go.
Do whatever. And it cuts, it's in the news right now, and your name is in the mix. Aaron Rodgers, Jesse Ventura, Mike Rowe, Scott Brown, his name, Tulsi Gabbard, and the name, Bobby Kennedy's running mate. Did Bobby ask you to be his vice president?
I'm going to let Bobby Kennedy speak for himself.
I like that. That's a great answer.
He's a good friend, and I really love and respect him and his heart and why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, a lot of people from Bobby's campaign really wanted to see you there and in the mix. But
they're big fans of yours.
Big fans, and speak for
they're great people.
But Aaron Rodgers, I don't know, that'd be pretty cool.
I haven't met him before. I like that he also has a strong independent streak, though.
He does, and he's
got courage.
He's got a few.
He does have courage.
You can't really bully that guy.
It's true.
They try to bully him,
but he doesn't give an F. Yeah. You know,
he doesn't.
Same with Trump, because Trump has the FU money and just kind of the brazenness. And I don't care. I mean, this is how it is, and this is how I feel about things.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's
it's going to be an exciting year.
We're excited. We are going to be watching very closely, and I think that's all we have time for today. So, everybody, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Jackman Radio with Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, and I hope future member of the cabinet. in the government in some form. We want to get you back in some capacity.
You. I'm grateful for you guys. Thank you. Thank you for your friendship over the years, and for being such troopers along the way.
When you stay on with something, you stay on it. If you believe in something, you believe and you go for it. Who cares what other people say or think?
Exactly.
Because it ends up being right. Well, ask Ron Paul.
Do what's right. Know? Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. If I told you so was a meme, it's Ron Paul.
It's Ron Paul.
And Tulsi Gabbard.
There you go.
Well, Tulsi, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. It's so good to see you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, folks. Hit that subscribe button and support the channel. Jackman Radio on all social media. Tulsi's on all social platforms. It's Tulsi Gabbard.
The book is available for pre-sale now.
The book.
For Love of Country, Leave the Democrat Party Behind. It'll be in your mailbox next month.
Yeah, so order that book and read it. And I hope there's some things in there, Tulsi, we don't know about you that we haven't heard.
There will be.
Surprises.
Trust me.
Some surprises and some
You don't know me that well.
Well, I'll read the book and then I'll tell you.
Yes.
I know she's not a Russian.
she's not an Asian of Russia.
Neither is Jill Stein.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Tulsi.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.
Take care.